And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We're going to be talking about some secrets today, sort of pulling the curtains open so we can all get a little peek inside the secret doings of the Illuminati elite and really the secret conspirators behind the New World Order. Well, this is volume 190. Can you imagine? Volume 190. And we do about one a month of secrets, so that means 190 months. So we have a little bit of tenure here, don't we? In other words, we've been around for a while. We're going to be looking at some things such as Watergate. We're going to dig back in history because the subject of Watergate, which was ostensibly the reason for Nixon's resignation as president, that's got back in the news now. We'll talk about that. It seems that people are still asking about the conspiracy, and they can talk all day about it, but they never get around to really revealing who they are. They, you know, the ones behind the conspiracy, they just talk all day, but never get to, well, who's really responsible. It's like talking about a murder, and you talk all day about all the suspects, but you never really get down and find out who really did it. Well, you know, was it the butler or the cook or the cousin or the sister or whoever? Like an Agatha Christie or Mickey Spillane movie, you know? Hey, people write me interesting things and want to know about different personalities. Are they truly Christians or not? Somebody asked me about Dog Chapman of TV's The Bounty Hunter. We'll see if we can't answer that. The Holocaust, that's been in the news because of the new book that we're offering, The Holocaust Hoax, by researcher Victor Thorne. And it's amazing, but it seems like, you know, a lot of people do now understand that most of what we call the Holocaust never really happened. It was a shock to me when I found that out. I thought that was a chapter of history already closed. Did you know that many of our military commanders and even the enlisted ranks smell a rat? They're not very happy over in Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Libya, and all the other places they've been sent. And many of them are believing, as did a Marine general some decades ago, that war is a racket. Now, you can't really be a really good soldier or airman or, Marine or whatever if you don't believe in your mission. But why should they? Well, we'll talk about that as well, too. Let's see what else we got. Oh, my. Hey, are you a Christian like I am? Then stop your whining. At least that's what a Freemason says. Yeah, a guy, the member of the Masonic Lodge, he's with one of these ACLU-type organizations, and he says Christians are just a bunch of whiners. But is he right? I mean, it's all fair and good for a Freemason to say such a thing. But look at the Masons. Every time somebody like Tex Mars exposes the Masonic Lodge, they stand on their hind legs. Whine. Talk about whiners. The Masons really are. Well, so much for that. And we'll also talk about, oh my goodness, friends, this has really upset me. I hope I can get to this news item. According to the New York Post newspaper, anti-Semitic filth has been found being sold right on the streets of Manhattan. Anti-Semitic filth. Can you believe that? Seems that there's a book and a video called Rothschild's Choice is being sold right on the streets. Who would be doing such a dastardly thing? Must be a member of the Ku Klux Klan. If you read the New York Post, who could it be? I don't know. If you've got the video Rothschild's Choice, maybe you know who produced that. All that anti-Semitic filth. And then Geraldo Rivera, he's talking about being anti-Semitic. He's a Jew, you know, who for years pretended to be, you know what, a Puerto Rican or whatever, Hispanic. Got him where he is today in TV, but really, well, he's just a Jew. But he's complaining now. He's a big liberal and a big Zionist supporter, and he was always in favor of the transportation agency and all of its searching and all that stuff. We've got to find the terrorist because, you know, after all, Geraldo Rivera is about as big as a Israeli firster as you could get. So it was all fine and dandy until he got searched recently at the airport. Rivera said, quote, I was raped. They violated my body. You know, it seems like the liberals, especially the Zionists, are just a bunch of whiners. I'm going to report them to that Freemason. If you want to talk about some whiners, don't talk about Christians. Talk about these Zionists like Geraldo Rivera. First, he wants, you know, an ironclad big brother country. That's really what he wants. Big brother to run America. The nanny state. And then he complains about it because it affects him. Well, get real, you liberals out there. You think you're going to be able to escape the coming scourge? No, it's going to get you too. Ask George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman, we now find out, was a rabid anti-police, a rabid Democrat. He voted for Obama, Barack Obama. He defended blacks at city council meetings. In fact, he went to one city council meeting and said that one black was beaten by police and the police were so unfair and all this other kind of stuff. Yeah, he defended the blacks. Liberal Democrat. George Zimmerman, till his life was in jeopardy, and he had to pull out a gun and shoot someone named Trayvon Martin. And now he's in jail, and they're trying him for second-degree murder. Maybe he can tell the judge, Your Honor, I voted for Obama. I defended blacks before the city council. I love black people. Some of my best friends are blacks. Yeah. Shut up. You're a whiner, George Zimmerman. And now, of course, Zimmerman didn't do the right thing. He was defending himself. But that doesn't matter to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all of the racist punks out there. So Zimmerman was on the side of Jesse Jackson and, you know, Al Sharpton and all the rest of them and Obama. But now the shoe's on the other foot. They needed a scapegoat, and they got him. They're trying to be divisive and start race wars. You know it. I know it. And he got caught. Geraldo Rivera says, I was raped while traveling by Airways. I feel so sorry for you, Geraldo. You wanted this. You got it. So shut up. Okay. Watergate. Let's talk about Watergate just a minute. You know, in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I talk about President Richard Nixon. A lot of things come to light when you find out that Richard Nixon had revealed to his closest associates, and this is on the White House tapes that you can actually listen to from the Nixon White House, not White House, actually it's a sort of a simulated White House. The Nixon Library in California. And in that museum, they have now released certain audio tapes of conversations that went on in the Oval Office, the White House, in Washington, D.C. One thing we know is that President Nixon knew of the Zionist conspiracy against America. He knew that the Zionists were already occupying our government, and he was determined to root them out if he were elected to a second term. But the Zionists in charge of American government also knew Nixon's intention. Evidently, I'm convinced that copies of the audio tape discussions in Nixon's office were regularly stolen by Nixon associates, perhaps Chuck Colson and some of the others. I'm not sure just who did it. And were taken to the top level Jews. Okay? And they knew at all time what Nixon had planned for the Jews. Now, Nixon wasn't going to take them to concentration camps or things like that. He was just going to start exposing them as best he could, even though he knew the media itself was controlled by Zionist Jews. But he thought he could use the White House as a bully pulpit and began to expose the Jewish control of America. In fact, he had a discussion with Evangelist Billy Graham to that very effect. And Billy Graham knew of the stranglehold. That's what Billy Graham called it. Billy Graham told the president, President Nixon, yes, the Jews have a stranglehold on America. But he said, Mr. President, Mr. Nixon, in other words, if you win a second term as office, in office as president, maybe you can do something about it. And Nixon said, yes, I'm going to. I'm planning it. Well, by the time the election rolled around and he was reelected by a wide majority, such media powerhouses owned by the Jews as the Washington Post and the New York Times began to lash out at Nixon with these Watergate revelations. Now, what was Watergate? Basically, when you look at it, it was seemed very simple. And that was Nixon could not trust the CIA or the FBI, or any of the government agencies. He had to use his own people. And so they recruited certain people and paid them, ex-CIA and so forth. And one of the things Nixon wanted to get into was the safe at the Watergate complex. You see, the Democratic Party, its chairman, its boss at the time, was a man from, I believe he was from Massachusetts, New England, named Lawrence O'Brien. Might have been Pennsylvania, but I believe he was from Massachusetts. Now, O'Brien had been the, pretty well known in the JFK administration, but also he had worked close with Lyndon B. Johnson. Now, here's what Americans don't know. And by the way, the reason I'm bringing this up is because a federal judge is deciding now whether to release certain of the Watergate documents that have been locked away in the archives for 40 years. Now, I want you to think about this. A president of the United States, Richard M. Nixon, was forced to resign as president after agents that he had paid for, his people at the White House, attempted to break into the safe of Mr. O'Brien, a top-ranked Democrat Party operative who had his offices there in the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C. What were Nixon's people after? Certain high-level documents that O'Brien had in his possession. And Nixon believed that he could control the Jews in America if he had some dirt on them. And O'Brien had the dirt locked away in his safe. It was stuff that was from the Lyndon B. Johnson presidential era. It was damning evidence that certain individuals and a certain foreign country had been involved, in fact, had planned and carried out the murder, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in November of 1963. If he could get his hands on those documents, Richard Nixon believed that he could stop the Zionist conspiracy in America. He could stop it dead in his tracks. So Nixon determined that he would get into that, break into that safe. Well, of course, it was not to be. They were discovered. They were arrested. And all hell broke loose. And eventually, Nixon was forced out of office. Now, if we're going to, and by the way, he was under threat of being impeached if he didn't resign. So he peacefully resigned and left office. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. Don't you think, as American citizens, any documents pertaining to Watergate, to the forced resignation, for the first time in history, the forced resignation of a president, don't you think that you and I, as citizens, should have been made aware of what those documents were? Instead, the federal authorities, federal judges, ruled way back then, that was what, 1972, 73, that the documents in the case would be locked away and kept from knowledge of the American people. So for four decades, 40 long years, our federal government has kept under lock and key the real truth about Watergate. Don't you think that's outrageous? I do. We forced a president to leave office. And then after we did it, we didn't do it, but the big shots did in Washington, D.C., the congressmen and so forth. And they wouldn't even tell us why they really did it, what Watergate was all about. At the time, people kept asking, why did Nixon want to break into that safe that O'Brien had? What was in there? And, you know, everybody just covered it up. They had all kind of Senate and congressional hearings about Watergate. They went on for months and months. But never one time was the question asked. Remember the senator from North Carolina with the strange eyebrows that go up and down and up and down? And all kind of characters came forth. And thousands of questions were asked about Watergate. But never once did they say, well, what were those guys breaking in Watergate for? What were they there to get? That was a question. That was a no-no. Well, today, for the first time, it's never been on national TV, international TV or radio. It's never been in the Washington Post or the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune or the Houston Chronicle or any other newspaper. I, Tex Morris, am going to tell you what was in that safe. I'm going to tell you what was in it, what it revealed about Watergate, what Nixon wanted to get, what he knew if he could get his hands on it would mean the death throes for the Zionist conspiracy in America. No longer would America be under the threat of the Zionist nuclear bomb. No longer would we have to worry about Palestinians being ravaged and murdered and oppressed in the Middle East. For ever since America's foundation, except for one incident back way back in the days of Thomas Jefferson and the Barbary Coast pirates of Tripoli in North Africa, we had been at peace with the Arabs. There was no 9/11 things going on. There was no war between Muslims and Christians. We had the best of relations with all of the Muslim countries. And Christian churches were being founded in the Middle East. Believe it or not, you could preach Jesus in most of the Middle East until Israel was brought in as a nation and began to stir up trouble and destabilize the area of the Middle East. What was Nixon after? Here it is, folks. Here it is. Listen up. What was in those, that safe, were the files from the Lyndon B. Johnson era that revealed who really killed John F. Kennedy. The JFK assassination. And who was in those files? Who did it? Who was among the conspirators? Here it comes. Lyndon B. Johnson, who was a Freemason, who was a big kiss up to the Jews, always had been, up to the day of his death. He was a Zionist freak. Lyndon Johnson planned the murder of JFK so he could take over the office. What a bum that guy was. Nothing more than a filthy, poisonous, rotten cur dog. That was Lyndon Johnson. And if you don't like me saying that, it's just the truth. He helped to murder John F. Kennedy. The second most powerful party was the Israeli Mossad. Israel. They were desperate to kill John F. Kennedy because Kennedy had threatened Israel and told Israel that, yes, America wanted Israel to survive and to prosper. But Israel would have to give up its nuclear bombs because Kennedy knew something, that Israel, its spies in America, and remember, most Jews in America are Israeli firsters. They may be born here, they may be raised here, but they put Israel before America. And Israeli spies, meaning American Jews who were working for Israel, had stolen our nuclear plans and even nuclear plutonium materials, uranium and so forth, and had given them to Israel. And thus Israel had nuclear bombs. And JFK was incensed over this. He did not want the spread of nuclear proliferation throughout the world. And he had written to David Ben-Gurion, the prime minister of Israel, and told Ben-Gurion that we, the United States, will not tolerate any country in the Middle East having nuclear bombs, whether Arab or Jew. And just a couple of months before his death, he had written a letter to David Ben-Gurion, telling him, informing him, not asking his permission, but informing him that we were going to send inspectors from the United States to inspect the Israeli plants in the Negev Desert in a place called Dimona. Now, David Ben-Gurion was a filthy, dirty liar as prime minister, as most prime ministers are, and a murderer. In fact, he had been a terrorist before, a communist terrorist, no less, from Poland, when he himself had immigrated to Israel. And he had told the United States and President Kennedy that they were wrong. We have no nuclear bombs. We're not working on nuclear technology. No, sir, he lied to Kennedy. But Kennedy knew he lied. So Kennedy said, we'll find out for ourselves. We're going to come down and inspect that plant. If, as you say, it's not a nuclear plant, fine. But if it is, we will cut off our aid money to you. We will cut off any military help to you. And we will make you cough up those nuclear bombs. David Ben-Gurion was going out of his mind. Israeli sources now admit that he was having a nervous breakdown over that. He was going to have to give up his nuclear bombs. Now, folks, they're going nuts today, the Israelis, trying to get assurances from, or something, I don't know what they're trying to get, from Iran, that Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons. But the fact is that Israel does have nuclear weapons. What a bunch of hypocrites. Hey, Jew, get the nuclear bomb out of your eye first, then you see it in your other neighbor's eyes. That's the way I see it, to paraphrase and maybe misuse a quote from the Bible. Well, in any case, that's what President Nixon wanted, those documents. That, yes, Lyndon Johnson was a participant in the assassination of John Kennedy, and so was the Israeli Mossad. And guess who was working with Israeli Mossad? The CIA and the FBI of J. Edgar Hoover and the Jewish mafia, because Americans did not know something. Listen to me. Listen to me. The Cosa Nostra, the mafia in America, was not run by the Sicilians, by the Italians, but by the Jews. And the Italians worked for the Jews. Sidney Korshak, Bugsy Siegel, Mayor Lansky and the others, and Jack Rubenstein, or Jacob, as his birth certificate called him, otherwise known as Jack Ruby. And even the Dallas Police Department was complicit in the murder, being paid off. So all these groups worked together. I mean, Kennedy really had them running scared. He was going to take the skeletons out of the closet. It was probably going to end up with Lyndon B. Johnson and the Israeli Mossad, the Israeli government, the CIA, the FBI, the Jewish mafia, police departments in the local level. All of them were about to be exposed for their wrongdoing if JFK had won a second term in 1964. And he was way ahead in the polls. He was going to win. And the Jews knew the gig was up, or the jig, whichever you want to call it. I say the gig because they've been performing for so long. So there you have it, folks. That's why they will never, listen to me, they will never release all the contents of the files of either the JFK assassination or the Watergate affair. You and I will never see the inside of those file folders. Simple as that. Because then we will know the truth. And America would be set free. But now they're lying to us. Can you imagine how long has it been since John F. Kennedy was murdered in 63? That's 37, 12... half a century, almost. Half a century. And they still won't let us see all the files. Meanwhile, it's been 40 years since Watergate, and they won't let us see the files. What kind of free country is it when they keep the most important historical facts under lock and key? I think it's got the same thing with the Holocaust. They know that 6 million Jews did not die in a Holocaust in World War II. There again, the government is keeping us from all of those facts. And they're lying to us. No wonder Henry Ford, the great industrialist, when asked about history, answered back and said, "History is bunk." In other words, it's just a myth. Well, that was a big revelation, folks. How did I know about that? Well, I'm not going to reveal my sources. You can count on what I told you as the absolute truth. When we come back, we're going to ask the question. Then we're going to go to some other things we'll look at. Stay with us. You're listening to Volume of Secrets, and this is Tex Mars. Tex Mars again. You know, we just published the book by my good friend Mike Hansen entitled Bohemian Grove, Cult of Conspiracy. Now, the book is almost 450 pages long. Great book. A lot of photographs that some of them never been published in a book before. In fact, there's never been a book, a full-length book, exposing the Bohemian Grove. Now, Mike Hansen was the guy that went in with Alex Jones, and they snuck in to the Grove and Mike was a photojournalist and a researcher, and he took his handy little video camera with him, you know, the little mini to your kind, and he was actually able to see everything that was going on. Well, not everything, because, you know, it's a big place. About 2,500 people attend the encampment in the Redwoods of California. He saw enough, though, let me tell you, it made him sick, disgusting, sordid. As President Nixon said, and he visited there several times, said he had never seen a place so faggoty. I like that word, faggoty. Boy, I tell you, you know, no wonder they didn't want him as president anymore. He didn't mince words, but he's in private, did he? It's the most faggoty place you can imagine, the Bohemian Grove. President Herbert Hoover was a member of the Bohemian Grove. He said it's the world's greatest men's party. Well, I wouldn't call a man if he was a pedophile, would you? A lot of pedophile activity going on there. I understand even some snuff films, at least that's been reported, where they actually murder people and watch it live, then put it on film and send it to all their disgusting, sick, perverted friends around the world. Some of the most powerful men in the world have been at Bohemian Grove. Ronald Reagan. I can't even think of all the ones that have been there. There's a huge list of them in this book, Bohemian Grove. It's the first time that a book has come out with a list of the members of the Bohemian Grove. You'll know most of their names, a good number of them. Newt Gingrich, of course, although he was not officially a member, was invited there. If you get invited, it's a big, you know, feather in your cap. Bill Clinton was invited back in 1991, and he turned out to be President of the United States just a year later. Yeah, they decide who can be President of the United States. I guess Tex Mars needs to go there. Maybe I could end up being President of the United States. Jerry's over there shaking his head. No. Come on, Jerry. That when they saw what a handsome specimen of man that I was and saw that I had great ideas, surely they would give me all the money and all the backing and order the Jewish Zionist media to say favorable things about me. You don't think so? Jerry says, no. In fact, he says, I'd probably never come out alive. He's is that the Tex Mars? Kill him. Yeah, they probably would. Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't much want to be president anyway. And I know they don't want me to be president. I mean, if they didn't want Ron Paul to be president, can you imagine if I got to be president? Tex Mars? Woo! Oh, my. No telling what, I mean, it would be JFK and November 63 all over again, wouldn't it? Well, in any case, Bohemian Grove, we're offering the book to our good friends out there. And we're offering it for $30. And please add $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $35. The first book ever published on the Bohemian Grove. And let me tell you, this is a dilly. That's what we used to call it in East Texas. And it is. It's a dilly. Bohemian Grove, Cult of Conspiracy. You'll see what these men are really like. And by the way, you know, Helmut Schmidt, the Chancellor of Germany. Queen Elizabeth was one of the few women to ever be invited to one of these meetings. Prince Charles, of course, has been there. Prince Philip has been at the Bohemian Grove. Most of them are Americans, though. All the oil company execs show up. Exxon Mobil, Arco Oil, all of them. They all end up at the Bohemian Grove because that's one of the most important industries in the world, the oil industry. They worship a towering owl, O-W-L, deity. Really, he's a form of the great goat god or dog god. There's many different versions of him. Called Moloch, who's mentioned in the Bible. The god of fire and death and sacrifice. And they have a ritual in which they actually supposedly sacrifice a live human being. Or some people say it's live. Others say, no, it's just an effigy. But the shrieks and the screams come out when he's thrown into the fire before the great beast during a ritual of the Bohemian Grove members. And they do the most terrible things there, right in public. My goodness. The San Francisco homos enjoy the place immensely. That's what Richard Nixon said. Okay, the Bohemian Grove, $35. That will take care of the shipping and the handling and all. Please order this book. Would you let your friends know about it? You know, we have quite an investment when we publish a book. It costs a lot of money to print it up, to work on it, to stock it, to distribute it. And we need your help in selling these products. Remember also my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, my newest video, Die, America, Die, and now this book, Bohemian Grove. By the way, I was very privileged to write the foreword for this book. The foreword for this book. I first learned about the Bohemian Grove several decades ago. In fact, a former CIA agent who was fed up and knew what really was going on behind the scenes in Washington asked me, did I know about the Bohemian Grove? And I said, well, no. He said, well, I'm going to give you some information about it. You need to investigate it. And I did, and it made me sick. But it also told me how important these movers and shakers are to the whole world and to our way of life and to our political system. They're at the very top of the heap. They need to be exposed, and Mike Hansen did it. Please order this book. Now, here's how to get your copy for $30 plus $5 shipping and handling. We've got plenty of copies. We'll get it right out to you. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go on our website. That would be powerofprophecy.com. And it's right there on the home page. Click on it and order the book, Bohemian Grove. You will not be unhappy that you did. I promise you, I guarantee you, it's worth every cent. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about secrets. You know, I was recently reading a very fine publication, American Free Press. Publisher Willis Carto is a great hero of mine. And in the letters to the editor was a letter by a man named Charles Althaus of Pennsylvania. Let me read to you what he said. He says, anyone who frequents the internet, shortwave radio, or various patriotic publications becomes aware of the mysterious they. They control the corporations, the government, and almost everything. Yet rarely is it ever said who they are. They have always been the world's troublemakers. Their philosophy includes the worship of mammon, or money, and the worship of self. They see themselves as special in the eyes of their God. They are masters in the art of lying and deceit, and regard everyone else as to be used as beast of burden. They, writes Mr. Althaus, are the cause of most of the problems around the world. Indeed, the world strains beneath their evil money system. The American Free Press, the Barnes Review, Republic Broadcasting Network, and Tex Mars are among the few who never fail to name who they are. Signed, Charles Althaus of Pennsylvania. Well, Brother Charles, thank you so much for this letter. Now, again, it was not addressed to me. It was to the American Free Press. But I was very, very happy to see my name mentioned as one of the few who never fail to name who they are. You know, recently I was reading, I'm not even going to name the web pages or talk about the radio show, because it really sort of saddened me. Because the head of some of these patriot groups are seemingly good people. Where could they have gone so wrong? One of them has a shortwave radio program. In fact, he's on a lot of regular radio stations. And he talks all the time about the Nazi conspiracy. The Nazi conspiracy? Are you kidding me? Never mention Zionism. Folks, it is the Zionists who are occupying America. Though they be a minority, it is the Zionists who are identified in the Holy Bible as the synagogue of Satan. My friends, in 1945, the Nazis were totally defeated. You don't have to worry about Himmler and Ribbentrop and Hitler and Goebbels. I've even heard people tell me that right in the throes of war as the Soviet troops and the American and British troops moved into Berlin, that Hitler and his henchmen took off on a spaceship to Mars. And there they have built a Nazi colony with their scientists. And now they're coming back in their spaceships on UFOs, and they're going to take over the world. Oh, please. I mean, this is just Jewish propaganda. Recently, a big article came out by some gentleman who obviously it was just Jewish Zionist propaganda. He says the Nazis never were defeated, and they've been hiding in places like Paraguay and Uruguay in South America. They're going to make a comeback. They're the ones we have to worry about. They're the conspiracy. It's they, the Nazis, who want to rule the world. You know, almost 70 years since Hitler died in that bunker. 70 years. How old would he be? Let's see, 70 plus. I don't know. Some people say that they took a bit of his flesh and now they're going to clone a new Hitler. I mean, the Jews will make it the most incredible fabrications. And these people want to mislead you. Like Brother Charles Althaus said, they don't want you to know who they are. They want to divert you away from the truth. Well, when they start talking about the Nazi conspiracy and all that stuff, turn off that station, I say. Throw away their publications. Now, somebody wrote to me and said, Tex, do you know anything about Dog Chapman of TV's Dog the Bounty Hunter? He quotes all the time from Scripture. He prays in Jesus' name on each program. Yet he and his wife curse like sailors. Do you think he's really a Christian believer? Well, by their fruits you shall know them. And I'll admit it's a good thing to go out and find the bad guys. It's a little bit satisfying, is it not? But, you know, a guy would not go on TV and use such profanity and even have the appearance that he does and be a true Christian. And if he is, whatever happened to the Bible verse that says, abstain from all appearance of evil? I'd like to talk to Dog Chapman about that. Seems like a nice enough guy in many ways. He does a lot of good, no doubt. But it doesn't help when you claim to be a Christian and you pray and then you curse like a bunch of sailors, does it? Hey, a lot of people are not falling for the Holocaust. We mentioned the book we're offering, Holocaust Hoax by Victor Thorne. Now, a congressional candidate in Illinois has called the Holocaust, quote, the biggest, blackest lie in history. Arthur Jones, 64 years old, from Lyon, Illinois. He wants to be the Republican candidate to run against Representative Daniel Lipinski, who's a Democrat. Arthur Jones is the Republican, as I said. And listen to what he says. He's done his research. He says, the idea that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust is the biggest, blackest lie in history. He told CBS News in St. Louis. There is no proof, said Jones, that the Holocaust took place in Europe against the Jews. As far as I'm concerned, the Holocaust is nothing more than an international extortion racket. He says millions of dollars have been made by Jews telling this tale of woe and misfortune in books, movies, plays, and TVs. The more the lies are told, the more money they make. And you know, folks, that's sad but true. Yes, many Jews did suffer in World War II. And so did Hungarians and Poles and Germans and Americans and French and Albanians and Romanians and Czechs. And 25 million Russians died. 25 million. No one cares about them, do they? It's always about the 6 million Jews. And Lenin and Trotsky, who were communist Jews, took over the Soviet Empire in 1917, and they and their sidekick, Stalin, in a Jewish conspiracy, went on to massacre and kill, after torturing, 66 million, mostly Christians. How many movies have you seen about that? How many books have you read? How many times have you gone to Time or Newsweek magazine and it talks about the gulags of Soviet Russia? And there were thousands of them. They dwarfed any that the Nazis ran. But you won't find that because The Jews in the United States adored Lenin and Trotsky and still do to this very day. It's just sad. No wonder Harry Truman said the Jews, he said it. Read about it in my book, Conspiracy of the Six Point of Story. He got fed up with the Jews saying, oh, look at us, woe is us. He said, you're not the only victims. Why should I cater to you? And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but read exactly the truth about Truman. And boy, they had been so enamored of Truman, he's the one that made him into a country in 1948. He recognized the nation of Israel for the first time. And that set them off as a nation, a Jewish nation, because they're prejudiced against all other people. Even after he did them this great favor, today many Jews hate Truman because he finally, in his later years, refused to be a puppet and a pigeon for them. Well, let's see what else we got. Hey, some people are saying to me that 501c3 tax-exempt status is being given all of these Jewish lobby groups, like AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and the Jewish ADL and the others. These groups should not be run for a foreign country, should not support a foreign country that is Israel. That's right. If they're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, they should be run for the benefit, I believe, of Americans, solely Americans. And I think we need to remove the tax-exempt status of AIPAC. They're not a charity or an organization which serves America. They serve the interest of a foreign entity. They exist for purely political purposes. They're not a tax-exempt charity. Take away the money of AIPAC. You said money? Yes. They get to keep all this money and claim it's tax-exempt because they're 501c3 organizations. They should not be. They should not be. We don't need a Israel First entity as a tax-exempt organization in America. Well, it looks like military commanders are not falling in line, and Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta's upset about it. Evidently, he's got the generals telling their commanders to get the troops in line. Can't seem to control them. They've been doing a lot of misconduct lately, urinating on enemy corpses, all those tasteless photos that they're staging with Afghanistan, the dead of Afghanistan, and so forth. And besides that, a lot of them, I mean, they're just not following orders and not doing what they're supposed to do overseas. I'll tell you why that is. It happened in Vietnam. Toward the end of the Vietnam conflict, the troops began to discover what they were, which was nothing more than corn feed. That's right. They were nothing but toilet matter to the politicians. Way back in the 1930s, a Marine general had been, he was a Marine for, I think, about 45 or 50 years. But after he retired, he woke up and he said, you know what? I haven't been fighting for America all those years. I fought bravely, and I mean, he had the nation's highest military decorations, heroism and so forth. But General Smedley Butler finally woke up and he said, war is a racket. And I believe that's what happened to a Private Pat Tillman of the Special Forces in Afghanistan. He was going to come back to America, he told his family, and expose what our government was doing over there in Afghanistan. And they murdered him, so he couldn't come back and do that. And now Leon Panetta, they're worried. They're worried these troops will come back and tell Americans what's really going on. Let me give you an example. SEAL Team 6. They said SEAL Team 6 went in and killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. I suppose they were going to bring SEAL Team 6 back to America, give them all medals and, you know, make it look like a recruiting poster. They have their pictures up. But suddenly there was a helicopter accident, and many of the members of SEAL Team 6 ended up dead, just like Private Pat Tillman. Maybe they knew the truth. They really hadn't killed Osama bin Laden. He had been dead of natural causes for over a decade, as the former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto, had explained on British television. And bingo, a few months later, she was assassinated. It ended in Vietnam with the troops taking drugs, killing civilians, fragging, that is, using a hand grenade and killing their own officers. Maybe this is what's going to happen. I don't want it to happen. I'm an ex-military man. I like military discipline. But I also like the troops having a real doctrine of military affairs, a real mission. And there is no mission in the Middle East other than to help Afghanistan and the CIA distribute heroin that they get from the poppy fields. Folks, the Taliban had gotten rid of all the heroin in the poppy fields. And now the CIA is working with the Afghan drug cartels, and now it's all over the world, Afghanistan heroin. Everybody knows the Bush family was deep into the drug trafficking. That's why Manuel Noriega of Panama is still in prison, and they won't let him go. Or did he recently die? I can't remember. Maybe somebody can write to him and tell me. I know one thing, he'll never get out of prison. Well, we're about running out of time here. Had so much. I tell you about this guy, Barry Lynn, head of this group, Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. It's a Masonic group, much like the ACLU. Well, he spoke at the Vanderbilt University and told Christians to stop whining. You know, you see, Christians have been told by universities and schools that they can't have meetings like other groups. You can be a gay group for transgenders or gays or whatever. You can be an abortion group, and you can use school facilities across America, from university all the way down to elementary schools. You can use their facilities for your meetings. But if you're a Christian club or a Christian group, people like Barry Lynn, the head of Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, or the ACLU, or the ADL and the others will come after you. They don't want any vestige of Christianity to exist. And this dud, this Barry Lynn, what a fake he is, from Freemason City, you know what I mean by that, has the gall to go to Vanderbilt University and speak there and say Christians should stop whining. If they want to have meetings, let them have them in their private homes like Christians in communist China. Do you get that? If you Christians want to meet, meet in private homes, not public places. Do it privately like they do in communist China. Yeah, Barry Lynn, you pinko-brained ACLU, AU freak. He knows that in Red China, when you have private meetings in your homes and you're a Christian, they come and arrest you. They don't allow you to have private meetings in homes in communist China. They're a communist country. And I think that's what Barry Lynn is. I'm sure he would say, I'm not a commie. No, I'm a faithful American. Sure he is. I think he's a hater of Christianity. But Christian friends, here's what he says to you. Here's a message for you. Get over it. Stop whining. In other words, we're not going to let you in our schools, even to have private meetings in schools. We're not going to let you use our facilities. We'll let gay groups. And I doubt if Barry Lynn worries about Jews and Muslims and the other groups. It's always the Christians that people like Barry Lynn are after. China doesn't give its people the right of religious freedom, and Barry Lynn doesn't want us to have religious freedom. He wants to separate church and state. What he really wants to do is shut down church and increase the power of state. That's what he really wants to do. And I'm sick of people like this. How about you, good folks? I'm just really, really sick about it. Well, I'll tell you one thing that is closed down. No government agency did it, but evidently the people did it. That TV show, GCB, which really stood for Good Christian Bitches, was on TV, made fun of Christianity, made fun of churches. It lasted one little season. Remember, I told you about this. I told you that the show GCB by ABC, American Broadcasting Corporation, its producers, its script writers, its directors were all Jews, and almost all of its staff, all of these people were all homosexuals. So they were homosexual Jews presenting to America a show, GCB, that mocked and blasphemed Christianity. Well, one sponsor after another left the show because Christians got together and fought this show. And now they've announced it will not be back next year, next season. Good for us. And if you don't like it, ABC, quit your whining. Go to Communist China. And why don't you do some shows like that over there that make fun of Maoism and the Communist Party? See how far you get before they put you on a guillotine and behead you. That's what they'll do over there. Or they'll send you to Tiananmen Square and crush your body with tanks. That's the way the commies do it. You are lucky to be in this country. But I say to all Jews that are like these of ABC News and ABC Network, if you don't like traditional America, if you don't like constitutional America, then go to Israel. You say that you're God's chosen people. You say that God wants you to return to Israel. Well, for heaven's sake, when are you going to return? When are you going to leave our fair shores and go back there? Well, actually, you can't go back. You never were there in the first place. The land belongs to the Palestinians, not you. You stole it. But while you got it, go there. We don't want you here. That's just the truth. Now, I don't speak to all Jews like that, but 95% of the Jews in America are in bed with the Zionist conspiracy. They just are, and that's sad. To you 5% who are not, praise God for you. Hey, you know, a lot of people ask me, are the Rockefellers Jews? Well, there's a book that has come out now called The Grandees, Grandees, America's Sephardic Elite. Now, the Sephardic sect is a, you know, part of the Jewish overall tribe, you might say. They're the Ashkenazis, who are basically the ones who control Israel. But there is a sect of Jews called the Sephardic Jews. Now, a man named Stephen Birmingham, who has been recognized as an expert on Jewish history, wrote this book, The Grandees, and one of the top American publishers, Harper and Row, published it. In The Grandees, Stephen Birmingham revealed who were Jews and who weren't, because so many Jews over the years have changed their names to disguise who they were. But he said that the Rockefellers indeed are part of the nobility of Jewry. J-E-W-R-Y. Isn't that interesting? He said they are actually Sephardic Jews from Spain, from Portugal, and so forth. Isn't that interesting? According to Mr. Stephen Birmingham in his book, The Grandees, which is recognized as a very authoritative source, in fact, the Rockefellers, the family first made its fortune, not in the United States, but over in France. Wow. And that John D. Rockefeller Sr. was a wealthy man even before he took over Standard Oil Company, which made the family one of the richest in the world. So in fact, according to this authoritative source, the Rockefellers are Jews. Maybe that's one of the reasons why for decades the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds have cooperated in controlling the global oil industry and much of its banking as well. This is Tex Mars. This has been another volume of Secrets. We've been looking at some very strange and unusual things, but things that needed, deserve to be spoken of, that you won't hear on the regular mainstream media. But we're going to continue right here with your help, with your love gifts, with your donations. Power of Prophecy will be here next week, the week after, and the week after. Until next week, then, may God richly bless you. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.